A Belmont family received word this week that their 24-year-old son had died in Afghanistan. According to the U.S. Department of Defense, Jonathan Curtis was killed Monday in Kandahar when Taliban fighters attacked his unit. His body was flown yesterday to Dover Air Force Base, where his parents were waiting. And we spoke just a few hours ago with Jonathan's mother, Pamela Curtis, who got word of his death the same day he died.
It was Monday night. I was home making dinner for my one of my other sons and was about to pick him up in Harvard Square. The phone rang, and it was my daughter-in-law calling from Tennessee, who said, "Are you home?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, I need you to be home." And she said, "And I need you to have Phil there, too." That's my husband. And since he doesn't live here anymore, I said, "Sam, what's this about?" And, you know, I knew what it was about. She had just gotten the visit, and she said, "You know, the Army's coming to see you." And so before I actually had the knock on the door, I knew that they were coming.
Did you feel braced for it?
You know, in the back of your mind, you always think about it, and you talk to your son, he'll call, and you'll say, "Oh, okay, for now he's fine," and I always felt not hearing anything was probably good. Say, "Well, he's outside the wire, he can't call, you know, no news is good news." If it's bad news, they come and find you.
Are you being told it was an IED attack?
Well, what it was, evidently, according to his company commander, and he and another fellow in his unit were guarding this outpost, this particular entry point to the American side, and evidently this guy who kind of got this far because he looked trustworthy and he had a vest, he was a suicide bomber. And I guess they think John managed to stop or thought something was fishy and wouldn't let him go. So as a result, he detonated the vest, killed the two of them. But clearly a suicide bomber wants to kill as many people as possible, not just one guard. And I think they think he prevented this man from going farther into the compound and possibly killing more people. I guess the shock of the blast is what kills you. It's not like he was pierced with anything or shrapnel or anything like that. He had on all his armor, his helmet.
So I imagine that you've had this outpouring of support in the past day or two. How do you feel like you're processing this?
Well, it's just like, it's still surreal. It still is one of those things you think, no, this isn't happening to me. I mean, I came home from work. It was an ordinary evening. You know, it was just like, you know, one moment it's just like it's awful. I keep thinking, oh, no, I'm looking at these pictures and he's not coming back. And then the phone's ringing and people are coming over. So that's amazing, you know, that Belmont's a small town, really, even though it's connected to everything else. And so news gets out quickly.
John has a wife and daughter in Tennessee.
Yes, they live in Knoxville, and he loved it there, actually. He grew up here, and he loved to come back, but he really liked Tennessee.
Did John keep in touch with you when he was in Afghanistan?
Yes, he talked to his wife every day that he could, and then he'd call other family members, his dad, his brothers, you know, kind of regularly in between calling her. So my oldest son had talked to him Sunday, Halloween. It was his son, so John's nephew's birthday, and he called Brian, my oldest son, and then he called his wife, and I remember she said the last thing he said is, "I'll talk to you tomorrow."
So he sounded good when you talked to him on the phone?
Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah. He was even talking about, he said, "I don't want to enlist for another tour in the infantry. You know, it's harder this time around now that I'm married. I have a child. But I think maybe I'll go into the National Guard. Maybe I'd like to go into law enforcement." He even talked about being a dog handler or something like that.
Are there funeral plans yet?
They're making them now, but they don't know exactly when the body will be released. The Army has to do what it has to do, and then they release the body, and we want to have a memorial for him here in his hometown, but it was his wish to be buried in Tennessee. And that's where his wife is, in Knoxville, and that's where his daughter, you know. That was what he thought of where he would settle down.
You know, we track a lot of deaths of soldiers from Massachusetts, and it's very rare that we see a son of Belmont. What made him want to join the military?
John was different. He was, in many ways, very bright, but he struggled mightily in school in many ways. So his high school came along, and Belmont High, you may know, is a pretty competitive place. You know, we all went to college. Everybody here goes to college and has 6 degrees and cares passionately about where their kids get in. And John, he just didn't compete that way, and he couldn't. And he kind of knew early and said, "I want to go into the military." And, you know, he sort of was on the way to his own life. He found it.
Pam Curtis, thank you very much for talking to us, and I'm very sorry you lost John.
Thank you.
Pam Pamela Curtis of Belmont is the mother of Jonathan Curtis, who was killed Monday in Afghanistan. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. If you want to comment on our show, you can do that on our website, wbur.org/boston, or email us at radioboston@wbur.org. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.